The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 6, texts number 41 through 46, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on June 27, 2015, in Los Angeles, California, USA.
Om Namo Bhagavat. Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa vichintya apriyam strinam jadata aham asat mata vali palita ejatka. Let's see how we're doing in there. Okay. Iti aham pratyadharita savichintya priyam strinam jadato hangasanmatah vali palita ejatka ityaham pratyadharita Savachintya priyang strinang jadato hangasangmatah vali palita ejatka ityahang pratyudhahrita. Now do continue on with it here. Sadhya sheta tatmanang sudhastrinam abhipshitam kim punar manuje dranam iti vyavasita prabhu sa he sabari muni vachintya thinking to himself apriyam not liked strinam by the women jadata being infirm because of old age aham, I, asat mataha, not desired by them, vali, wrinkled, palita, gray-haired, ejatka, with the head always trembling, iti, in this way, aham, I, pachyudahrita, rejected by them. Sadayashiye, I shall act in such a way, tata, as atmanam, my body, sudastrinam, to the celestial women of the heavenly planets, abhipsitam, desirable, kim, what to speak of, punaha, yet, manuja indranam, of the daughters of worldly kings, iti, in this way, yavasita, determined, prabhu, sabari, the greatly powerful mystic. Translation. Sabara Muni thought, I am now feeble because of old age. My hair has become gray, my skin is slack, and my head always trembles. Besides, I am a yogi. Therefore, women do not like me. Since the king has thus rejected me, I shall now reform my body in such a way to be desirable even to the celestial women, what to speak of the daughters of worldly kings. Since there's no purport, we'll continue on with this amazing pastime. Muni praveshita chatra kanyata pradam abriddimat vritasa raja kanya bir ikam panchashasa varaha. Thereafter, when Sabari Muni became quite a young and beautiful person, the messenger of the palace took him inside the residential quarters of the princesses, which were extremely opulent. All 50 princesses then accepted him as their husband, although he was only one man. Text 44. Tasam kalira bhuyang shchadarhe po yasau hridam vamanu rupanayang va ititan gatachetasam. Thereafter, the princesses, being attracted by Sabari Muni, gave up their sisterly relationship and quarreled among themselves, each of them contending, "This man is just suitable for me and not for you." In this way, there ensued a great disagreement. Texts 45 and 46. Sabya vrichastavira paraniya tapashriya narga parichchadeshu graheshu nana pavanamu malabam sarasu sagandika kananeshu maharhashayasana vastra bhushana snanana lule pa vyavyavyahara malyakai svalankrita stri purusheshu nityada ramene nyugaya dvijabringa vandishu. Translation. Because Sabari Muni was expert in chanting mantras perfectly, his severe austerities resulted in an opulent home with garments, ornaments, properly dressed and decorated maidservants and manservants, and varieties of parks with clear water lakes and gardens. In the gardens fragrant with varieties of flowers, birds chirped and bees hummed, surrounded by professional singers. Sabari Muni's home was amply provided with valuable beds, seats, ornaments, and arrangements for bathing. And there were varieties of sandalwood creams, flower garlands, and palatable dishes. Thus surrounded by opulent paraphernalia, the Muni engaged in family affairs with his numerous wives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sabari Rishi was a great yogi. Yogic perfection makes available 8 material opulences: anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishitva, vishitva, and kamavasita. Sabari Muni exhibited super excellence in material enjoyment by dint of his yogic perfection. The word bhavricha means expert in chanting mantras. As material opulence can be achieved by ordinary material means, it can also be achieved by subtle means through mantras. By chanting mantras, Sabari Muni arranged for material opulence, but this was not perfection in life. As will be seen, Sabari Muni became very dissatisfied with material opulence and thus left everything and re-entered the forest in the Vanaprastha order and achieved final success. Those who are not atmatattvit, who do not know the spiritual value of life, can be satisfied with external material opulences, but those who are atmatattvit are not inspired by material opulence. This is the instruction we can derive from the life and activities of Sabari Muni. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shimshakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatnyadeshatarine. So, hearing about this amazing pastime of Savarimuni, someone may think, oh yes, I must also learn how to become expert in chanting mantras. So without having to work hard and at some job, I can become super opulent, have so many wives and have so much facility for sense enjoyment. I simply must become expert in chanting mantras. But it's not so easy to become that expert in chanting mantras in this age. Who has the facility to practice yoga like that? Who has the power to submerge themselves under the water and remain underwater, you see? This requires very, very, very advanced yogic practice. Not sitting out at some yoga studio here in L.A. and chanting Om. You see? But there's another mantra expertise, and that we have privy to that. That is called the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the amazing achievements obtained here by Savarimuni are actually dwarfed to minusculeness by the great blessings and achievements that one can get by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. The Hare Krishna Mantra does not require great technical ability. Even we see the Chinese, sometimes they go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you see. It doesn't require expertise in the material technique. It simply requires a softness of heart. If we can learn how to chant Hare Krishna with a softness of heart, then we can achieve something far, far, far beyond anything of Savarimuni. We can achieve a position in the transcendental pastimes of Krishna going on at this very minute right now in Goloka Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna is simply waiting for us. He's waiting for us. When will you come back? He's waiting for us. So by the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the inconceivable mercy of Srila Prabhupada, coming and living with the hippies to give them Krishna consciousness, we have this facility now. Therefore, we must fully utilize that facility. As it is said, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. We should not let this opportunity pass us. This chanting is so wonderful thing. This chanting is actually enchanting. We should allow ourselves to become in, we should give up our false egos, that big fat ahankara we've been lugging around birth after birth. Should give it up and just become enchanted by the chanting. That amazing experience of directly associating with Krishna in the form of Nama Avatar. Krishna, Krishna. Do you know how much nectar there is in those two syllables? Anybody know? Rupa Goswami says, I don't know. So what is our position? Rupa Goswami cannot fathom how much nectar there is in Krishna. Tunde tandamani vidang vidanate tundavali lamdiye karna kradaka dhammani gatayate kunamye braspraham chetra pangani sangane vijay visel sarvendriyanam kritim no jani janita kriyad viramitai krishneti varnadvai. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, the personality, the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna himself, Bhagavan, is personally dancing on my tongue. And there's so much nectar oozing out, shooting out from those, from Krishna, that my one little mouth, I mean, it just can't, there's no way I can hold it. Therefore, I need millions of mouths to get a little more of that nectar. See? And then when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, it's explosive. There's so much nectar exploding out of Krishna that, my God, I need billions and trillions of years to at least get a little bit more of that nectar, you see. And then when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental bliss. This is Rupa Goswami. I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed. Bhaktivinoda says the same thing. By the name's effect, I am paralyzed. He's stunned, you see. So, what do we have to do, Prabhus, Matajis? What do we have to do if we really want to get out of Maya? We have to fall in love with the name. We have to fall in love with the name. Bottom line. It's called Namaruchi. When you fall in love with a name, that's Namaruchi. So we have to hanker for that day. Now, we're attracted to all kinds of gross, disgusting things. Let's face it, we're contaminated, isn't it? Of course, there may be a few pure devotees here, but I'm at least this one's contaminated, the one sitting here giving the class. We're contaminated. So we have to hanker for that purity. That hankering will actually purify us, you see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kabbe habbe bolo se ni namar. When will that day be mine? Aparada guchi shudana me ruchi kripa bole habe hridoye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kambe habe bolo se di namar. When will that day be mine? We have to pine for the name. We have to pine for it. Like a lover separated from their lover, their beloved. You see? We have to pine for that thing. When will my heart cry in separation from the nectar of the name? You see? And now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. It's mechanical. It's like sometimes it's bitter, you see. That's described also Rupa Goswami, you see. Shat Krishna Nama Chaditari Sitapyava Patopatapta Rashanashana Rochikani Kint Vadanikam Jarjay Vajushta Swamikamadavititogramulahantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet. It's like the sweetest sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Note the word carefully chanted every day. That's the instruction for us, you see. If we can do that, if we can carefully chant these names every day, then we're on the track to perfection. We're on the track to perfection. It's sometimes bitter. Sometimes bitter. Jaundice. Sugar candy is so bitter you just want to spit it out, you see. But your physician has ordered you every day you must take sugar candy. Okay, I'll do it. It's horrible tasting, but I just do it. It's medicine. Oh, it's horrible, but I'll take it, you see. So by that faith in the instructions of the physician, one takes the sugar candy and by golly, it transforms and gradually turns into the sweetest nectar once again, you see. Oh, it tastes really good now. I'm cured, you see. So the spiritual master is ordering us, you must chant Hare Krishna, you see. And we do that. We make a vow when we get dardiksha. I must chant at least 16 rounds every day. I may feel like it, I may not feel like it. It doesn't matter whether I'm swimming in the nectar or I have no taste. It doesn't matter. I do it every day as a duty. That's so. It's my duty to every day faithfully chant, carefully chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. And by that faith in the order of the spiritual master, faithfully executing it every day without fail, magic happens within the heart. There's an amazing mystical, magical transformation of consciousness which takes place gradually, gradually, gradually. So in this way, we have to take advantage of this incredible mercy coming down from the greatest acharyas, the greatest, most empowered, highly realized acharyas in our sampradaya. We have to take advantage of this. And if we do so, we'll achieve the greatest good fortune that can possibly be achieved beyond any opulence of this material world. Even the post of Brahmaji is desolation row compared to being back with Krishna in the spiritual world. So perhaps there's some questions. You should come, yeah. You have your question. Archita Prabhu. Sriman Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. As usual, thank you for wonderful discourse. One question based on your class and then a request. So the question is, a neophyte devotee may say, well, so far when he was so highly elevated, spiritualist yogi, but still he had to go through the pursuit of opulence and family life before reaching perfection. So what about us? We're not on his level. Obviously, we have to take that same route.
We don't have to become, it's not that you have to have 50 wives. I mean, come on. You don't need 50, you have to go through 50 wives in order to get out of my head. just by hearing from the wonderful teachings of our beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, you can immediately take the renounced life. You don't have to go through all this crud. Of course, there is some facility if being a, you know, being a brahmachari sannyasi is not quite, you're not ready for that, then you can go through some gradual thing, you know, with one wife and some simple householder life based on regulative principles. You know, sex is only for procreation, it's not for recreation, you know, an austere, it's an austerity either way. Brahmachari life is austerity, Krishna conscious household life is also an austerity, but that austerity is the wealth and the opulence of the Vaishnavas, you see. We love austerity. That's our opulence. That's like diamonds and rubies, that opulence, of that austerity, you see.
Thank you for a beautiful response. I knew you would give. So the request is, you're one of the premier traveling preachers in this country. You go around the world once every year at least. So I would like to have you give us some insight into your travels since the last time we saw you.
Okay, I'll give a little bit, some tidbits here. Yeah, this is actually the tail end of an around-the-world tour. We're coming back to Austin, finishing up an around-the-world tour today. And we started off, went off to a place called the Bhaktivedanta Manor in the UK. They have wonderful programs on Wednesday night. They have a special program for newcomers, and they have it up in Prabhupada's room, and they, you know, kind of a mellow thing. Somebody plays a guitar kirtan, you know, something for newcomers. So that's, I got to give that lecture and then a Gita class. And then we flew down to Mauritius, off the coast of Africa, which Prabhupada was the only country in the world where the government invited Prabhupada to come there. So it's a very special place, Mauritius. I call it delicious Mauritius, because the preaching is so sweet there, it really is. And the lychee fruits are really great in season also, by the way. They're everywhere, lychee fruits. But there's two nice big temples there, Phoenix Temple, and also one out in the country, which is a Krishna Balaram Temple. Beautiful, nice temples. They had a big kirtan mela there. They have a huge piece of land there in Phoenix where they set up a big pandal, a huge festival. We came in just after that, but we had a whole week there, and then we flew down to South Africa from there. Kind of interesting how I ended up preaching in South Africa, because I'd heard some horror stories about South Africa. In fact, one Indian gentleman in Toronto had left South Africa because he was driving in his van one day with his family, you know, his kids, his wife, and some carjackers came by and said, okay, get out of the van, and we're going to keep your kids also. You and your wife get out of the vans. We're taking the kids in the van. And he begged for his kids back. He let him have the van, and he had to beg with him that he can keep his children. So he decided to leave South Africa. It was a little bit too heavy for him. And so we found a good deal on tickets going through South Africa. So we thought, well, you know, we're route through there. So either Mauritius to South Africa and then over to the Orient from there. And so I was a little leery about the situation after hearing from this devotee. So I called the temple there in South Africa and said, "What's the deal? You know, how safe is it there to travel? You know, to come to the temple?" They said, the Mataji said, "You know, it's really dangerous here." She said, "Don't travel at night, and don't take a cab." And we got really whoa. So they had a hotel right by the airport. We thought we're just doing an overnight stop right on our way to the Orient. We figured, well, we'll just stay in the hotel by the airport. We're not going to risk going out into the dark night of South Africa and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. And so anyway, you know, I have this e-course. I have many people on my e-course. I got like 16,000 people on my e-course. And I had mentioned I was transiting through South Africa that night. And but anyway, we came out, getting ready to come out, and you go through customs and immigration. You're getting ready to go to the hotel, and we came out there, and lo and behold, there's like 25 devotees there. We couldn't believe it. They had a kirtan, they had garlands. We went, wow, and what to do with all these devotees, you know? So we took them out of the hotel room. We crammed everybody in this. We squeezed like sardines in the hotel room. We had a festival in the hotel room. They had prasadam. They had a feast. Everything. We couldn't believe it. And then after we went on, and I got an email from the GBC, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and said, "We wanted to apologize for not receiving you nicely in South Africa." And I went, wow, I think I'm going to preach here. If that was not a nice reception, I think I'll continue preaching this. So now we go regularly to South Africa. Too. We add that to our itinerary. And then from there we headed over to Hong Kong. And it's just a small little, maybe only 10 people came for the class that night. But I have a book out, actually. I was going to present it here, but the first day I sold every book I had. We had two cases. They're all gone. I was going to show it here. My book, it's called Truth Works. But they sold instantly before on the first day we got here. Two cases, gone, finished. But anyway, we brought 10 books, and there was about 10 people. Everybody who came to the class bought a copy of the book, Truth Works. So that was kind of nice. And then we went on to Malaysia. Of course, in Malaysia, there's like 30 or 40 temples. The preaching is going on full steam ahead there. Really big time congregational preaching there, because it's a Muslim country, but the Indians, there's a strong Indian community there. They have many, many things happening all over the country. So the first time we kind of went touring around to different places, and you realize it's better just to focus on, some place where you can focus and develop relationships. So now we just go we fly into Kuala Lumpur, and there's a suburb called Klang. So we just preach between those two places now and focus on, developing relationships with the devotees there. So we can have a more qualitative, preaching instead of just some quantitative thing and going to 100 centers, So just concentrate on a few places. That's what we like to do. And then from there, we flew down to Melbourne, Australia, which is the Australian version of New Dwarka. It's really a wonderful place. They have Prabhupada's original quarters there. They have the Prabhupada house. If you've ever been there, it's amazing. It's a beautiful old house from like a previous era. A beautiful, amazing architecture with the high ceilings, the old architecture. It's a beautiful old building in good shape, and Prabhupada's room is the Shakti is so, just like here. The Shakti is really, really powerful, and they have the preaching is going. Aniruddha Prabhu is an incredibly fantastic president. He's been there he's like Savas. He's been there for decades, hanging in there and doing a wonderful job. And it's just just like many temples you go to Mangalarti, and it's like a ghost town, There's Bajari, and that's it, and the deities. But we go to New Dwarka or to Melbourne, it's a vibrant Mangalarti. It's wonderful, like the old days in ISKCON, When I remember the old days, I come to New Dwarka or I go to Melbourne. It's like the good old days of ISKCON. Everybody comes to Mangalarti, there's ecstatic morning program, is celebrating the ecstasy and get out and save the world. That atmosphere here and there. It's a wonderful atmosphere. And they have two restaurants in downtown, which is really, really awesome. And then they have also upstairs from the restaurant, they have the Urban Yoga Center, a brainstorm of Devamrita Swami. And it's really effective. It's like they teach yoga and they gradually introduce Krishna consciousness, and it's very effective. I actually have two disciples out of that program. Two very nice Australian boys, Krishna and Balaram, came out of the Urban Yoga Center. So we had a wonderful week there. They have all kinds of home programs going on all over the place. I mean, the congregational preaching is going on full steam, and there's namahats everywhere going on. Even near the temple, you go like two blocks one direction, there's a whole apartment building, which are all congregational members, all Indian congregational members, the whole apartment building. And so they have a program there every week, and it's so many people, they just pack in, and you can't even all fit in the apartment. They stand outside and through the window and through the door, they participate in the program. There's so many people coming, And then, and now they started another one on the other side of the temple, a few blocks on the other side. The same thing happened. We did a program there the last night. We did a program there. The same thing. It was packed. They were out in the hall looking in through the window, through the door to be a part of the program. So, and then of course, then we came to one, after that, we went to a wonderful temple called New Dwarka, where many people come to Hollywood, to look for the stars. I come to New Dwarka to look for the stars. The ISKCON luminaries like Svavas, Archita, Dhrutakarma Prabhu, the ISKCON luminaries. You see, I come to see the stars here. Instead of, they go for Hollywood, I come to New Dwarka to see the stars. So, of course, we have many other places we go, but that was just this tour. It's just an exciting thing, actually, to absorb one's life in trying to make a difference on this planet, because that's, unless you're trying to make a difference, you can't really be happy. You really can't be happy. Every devotee should be trying to make a difference on this planet. Let my life actually make a difference in world history. By my example, by my even my attitude, my words and my activities, you see. So I'm, even though I'm not very qualified, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to make a difference, trying to, you know, do what I can to help spark off that world revolution that Prabhupada sparked it off and Lord Chaitanya sparked it off. Trying to do whatever I can to help that movement go forward, you see. It's like our movement is like a Ratha Yatra car. It's not a one-man thing. We have to all grab the ropes and pull, you see. If one man can't do it, but if all of us work together cooperatively in a very wonderful, loving, harmonious way to push this movement forward, to pull the Ratha Yatra car, we can actually make a big difference on this planet and completely revolutionize this whole world society. Which is predicted, actually. It's going to have some Vaishnavas will eventually do it. Whether, you know, it's going to happen. It's predicted. Saj janna dur janna pangut jadda anaganna prema vanyaya du bala jagatada janna. This Krishna conscious movement, prema tsunami. It will inundate the entire universe and drown everyone, whether they're pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. So it's going to happen. Someday, this movement, this kirtan actually of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa 500 years ago, the ripple effects of that kirtan will completely inundate the whole universe. It's predicted, it's going to happen, it's already in the process. Now how fast it happens, how thoroughly it can happen within our lifetime, that's up to us, how much we are determined that every ounce of my energy must go into pushing forward this movement and pushing forward Krishna consciousness within my own heart. You see, that we have to have intensity of focus. Intensity. So I find that traveling and preaching helps me to keep that vision, you see. I have no reason to be on this planet except to cultivate Krishna consciousness and to give Krishna consciousness to others. No other purpose for existing. So, and that's my little bit about traveling. And, yeah. Oh, yeah, some more cases in my book will be coming, and since we sold out, more cases will be shipped over soon. Anybody wants a copy of Truth Works, they're welcome to ask Bhaktivatsala Prabhu. Basically, it's a... my e-course has been very successful. I'd even got a Hollywood actor into the movement here. And what we've done is the question and answers are the favorite part. People love the questions and answers. And so we've taken the cream of the crop and put them into the book in according to different subjects. So Hari Sai Prabhu has recommended this book very highly. He said it's a handbook of Krishna consciousness. So it gives you a very good understanding of why you should be a devotee, what it means to be a devotee, what is Krishna, what is the holy name. All the basics are covered. And it's also an excellent tool for those who want to preach and convince other newcomers to take up this pathway of Krishna consciousness as their life's goal. So, yeah, you can ask him if you want. Put in an order with him, we'll ship more over. So any other questions? Yes.
So you were saying that the chanting of the mantra doesn't depend as much on the technique as much as the softness of the heart. So So I'm wondering, because sometimes we hear like Hare Krishna or Hare Rama.
No, the basic, I mean, you should correctly pronounce it as best you can, not that you're just sloppy, you know. It should be distinctly, Prabhupada said every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. So it's not that you start chanting different, you know, changing it around. You should, to the best of your ability, you should correctly chant it. But, you know, I don't think I correctly chanted according to strict Sanskrit principles. I doubt that I correctly chanted, but you know, I try my best. But that R with a dot under it, there's a certain subtleties of Sanskrit that my Western tongue may not be able to master. But the thing is, you do your best to chant it nicely. Because that's love, you see. If you're approaching a person, you should try to pronounce their name as best you can. If you really love them and you care about them, you'll try to pronounce their name as best you can. Sincerely try your best. You understand?
Because also I know that one pronunciation of Krishna is Krishna, and then also there's we see Ramo in the Bhagavatam.
What do you see in the Bhagavatam?
We see the Ramo.
Ramo?
You see the Ramo in the Bhagavatam.
Ramo is in the Bhagavatam?
Yeah. I've seen that for Balaram.
It may be because of what's called sandhi in Sanskrit. Sometimes, according to the rules of sandhi, the endings will end in order to merge nicely into the next word. But that sandhi, if that's the case, it's simply a case of sandhi, a combination of syllables. But it does not apply in the Hare Krishna mantra. That rule of sandhi does not apply. If it's in that Sanskrit verse, it does not apply in the Hare Krishna mantra, that rule of sandhi.
So for maximum...
It's Rama. Rama is clearly there. I think it's written down somewhere, Hare Krishna mantra. Yeah, there it is, see? Rama. There's no O, it's an A. Rama. Now the Bengalis may go Ramo, not that we have to imitate Bengalis, you know. The Balis also go Krishno. I remember I was many years ago in Mayapur. We went on a little parikrama, you know, and I was really ecstatic. I went back there in the woods, and there was some forest people back there. It's really cool, some forest people, and there all the children were there, the forest children, and they saw us and they were in ecstasy. They went, Adi Krishno. So it's not that we should, oh, that's really cool. I'm going to go Adi Krishno, and I chant my rounds now. Adi Krishno, 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 Adi. No, that's just their vernacular, you know. We have to follow what Prabhupada gave. It's not that we imitate some Bengali children who go Krishno. You know what I mean? We have to do what Prabhupada gave us. We are Prabhupada Nugas. That means we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then the question comes up, what about saying Hare Rama, Hare Rama? Prabhupada, you can hear on the tapes, sometimes you'll go Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But if you look at it subtly, actually the ma is always in there, because you can't say an M without a vowel behind it. Ram, hear the ah. The ah is always in there. You can go. You can make it more obvious. Rama, but you say Ram. The ah is still in there. It's just more subtle. But you go Hari Ram. The ah is in there. Also, it's still in there, but it's just a little more subtle. So that part you can do Hari Rama, Hari, or you can go Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. But either way, the ah is present. But Ramo, that's not our standard. Okay? Next question. Everyone satisfied, ready to go for breakfast? Okay, thank you all very much. We love you. Glories to Prabhupada. We'll see you our next visit. Hare Krishna. I have a flower garland to give away. Anybody want a garland? Come on up.